started a few weeks ago, I said Happy New Year to you and reminded you that we're starting a new church year. And this church year, a lot of the gospel readings will be from the Gospel of Matthew. Every 3 years we go through rotation. And so this year's Matthew, next year will be Mark, the year after that will be Luke, and we'll go back to Matthew again. But when we start with Matthew, Matthew doesn't really have a good Christmas text in it. Like, Luke has this great message, right? Luke 2, 1 through 20 is the one that we always read on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and we have a Christmas programs. You may have heard it about 12 times already this year as we continue to recite it and remember it. You might be able to recite it from memory yourself, but Matthew doesn't give a lot of the birth of Jesus details. He starts with a genealogy, and then he tells us about Joseph, which we'll talk about in a moment. And then right after this text that we have today, then it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem." And so he says, like, even in like half a verse, he talks about the birth of Jesus, and that's all we get from Matthew. He goes right to these magi who come probably sometime between 40 days and 2 years after Jesus is born, so it's not the same Christmas night. He kind of skips over all that. Matthew has a different focus in his gospel. He wants to deliver a different message. He has a different intention for us, and we can start to see his plan unfolding just at the first verse of the Gospel of Matthew. He says, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And so this whole book is meant to be like a genealogy, which I've talked about genealogies before too. I think a couple of years ago I talked about the genealogy of Luke. It's kind of boring when you just read through this list of names, and we don't even in the church read through that list of names that Matthew gives. The people who prepared our regular readings, you know, in their infinite wisdom said they don't want to listen to a whole long list of names read. And, you know, if you have a lay leader, they definitely don't want to read that whole long list of random names, difficult to pronounce at times. And so we skip straight to Matthew 1:18-25 today. But that genealogy is important because Matthew is telling us where Jesus comes from. He's the son of David and the son of Abraham. The son of Abraham, he's the one who was promised, who would bring his people to be a blessing to all nations, and through them, all the world would be blessed. And then he continues this promise in giving it to David, and he says, "David, your kingdom will never end, because I am bringing one who is your son, who will bring about this kingdom forever." And so Matthew's intention is to let us see that this one is the one whom this whole book is about. But then he jumps to the person of Joseph. And to understand this idea of son of David and this message given to Joseph, and especially the prophecy that Matthew says is fulfilled in this message to Joseph, it's helpful to get like a Paul Harvey rest of the story idea of where all this comes from. And so our Old Testament lesson is part of that in Isaiah chapter 7 today. But I'm going to go back even a little bit further to David. Because David was given this promise, and he was told that your kingdom is going to be this blessed kingdom that you're going to establish, and it's going to bring about this salvation and Messiah that everybody is waiting for. And so this is what this family could expect. They are destined for greatness. But David, after David reigns, this king after God's own heart, comes Solomon. And Solomon was okay for a little while. And then he started worshiping false gods and drew his people, Israel, away from worshiping Yahweh as God as well. And so this brought about the split of God's kingdom. God took away this kingdom from this family line and said, "You will not rule over all of us." In fact, 10 tribes went to be in the northern kingdom. And that was given over to Jeroboam, someone who worked for Solomon, not even part of his family line. These 10 tribes in the north went off to someone else, but God was faithful to his promises. And so he allowed David's grandson, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, to take over, to be the one who ruled the southern kingdom of Judah. But this family of David, this line of kings coming from David, these sons of David in the southern kingdom, kind of followed what Solomon had done. They continued to go after what the culture saw as important, and the idolatry, but especially the power that they could gain from their kingship. And so this leads us further down the line to some of David's sons, and we could recount all of them, but the one we want to focus on today is Ahaz. Ahaz, this one who comes down David's line. Isaiah is talking to Ahaz in Isaiah 7. But we also get some backstory of who Ahaz is and how he acted as king in 1 Kings chapter 16. It talks about the reign of Ahaz. It says, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. He did not do what was right in the eyes of Yahweh his God, as his father David had done. And then it gives this horrible detail. He even burned his son as an offering to Molech. Ahaz fully rejected the way that David reigned as king and followed Yahweh to lead his people. And so then, also during Ahaz's reign, there was a lot of strife. The northern kingdom of Israel and the neighboring kingdom of Syria had joined forces together to try to crush the kingdom of Judah and overtake Jerusalem. That was their plan. There was this war starting. And so Ahaz saw what was happening, and he knew that he didn't have the military might, the ability to conquer these forces on his own. And so who did he look to for help? He cried out to Assyria. Assyria, of course, that great world power, the one everyone should cry to when they are in need of hope. I know that you pray to Assyria, the king of Assyria, Tiglath-Pileser. He's dead. But that day, he seemed like the one who was the savior of Ahaz. And so Ahaz, seeing this military might coming up against him, he says, Assyria, you need to fight against Syria. These are two different nations, Syria and Assyria at this time. You need to fight against Syria and Israel to save me. He says to him, Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, I am your servant, and I am your son. Come up and rescue me from the hand of the king of Syria and from the hand of the king of Israel who are attacking me. Wait a second. Whose descendant is Ahaz? He's David's son. But here he rejects that name. He rejects that promise. And he says, O king of Assyria, Tiglath-Pileser, I am your son. Please come and rescue me. And this is where Isaiah comes in. And we get Isaiah chapter 7, because Isaiah is coming because Yahweh is leading him to come to Ahaz and let him in on what Yahweh has to say about all of this. And Yahweh says to Ahaz, Ahaz, ask me of a sign, and you can ask me anything. And I will show you that I am your God, and I will be the one who will lead you in conquering your enemies and saving your people and continuing my promises to your family. And Ahaz says, no. No, I don't want a sign from you. And he gives some false, pious answer as to why he doesn't want a sign from God. It's not a good answer. He says no, because he doesn't want Yahweh. He doesn't want to hear what Yahweh has to say. His mind is already made up. He'd already decided that his own reason and independence was the better way to go, the plan that was the right one to follow. It's like as Isaiah is talking to him, he's putting his fingers in his ears and he's saying, I can't hear you, because he's completely content with going his own way without God's word, without God's guidance, without God's revelation. He wants to pick his own path. He wants to write his own story. He wants to choose his own destiny. And so to do this, Ahaz has to live in a state of intentional ignorance, saying, God, just don't tell me, so I can feel like I didn't really know in the first place. Don't tell me what your word is, because I don't want to be proven wrong. He needs to explain everything that Isaiah is saying away. And he rejects God's word as foolishness, because who needs it? I have the plan under control, Yahweh. The king of Assyria is going to help me. We're buds now. I'm like a son to him, instead of being like a son to you. And Ahaz rejects, again, being called a son of David. And Yahweh sees Ahaz's heart. He knows Ahaz's rejection of him, and so he offers his own sign. He says, Ahaz, you're not asking for a sign, but I'm going to give you one that you need to see, that you need to know, and that is for your family. He gives him the sign of Emmanuel. He says, behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son. She will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Of all people who could have received this message for the first time, God chooses wicked King Ahaz, the one who completely rejects the idea of God being with him and says, I don't want you to be with me. And so in his rejection of this promise, Ahaz turns away from God, and this sign becomes for him a sign not of joy, but of judgment. Ahaz turns towards this alliance with Syria and follows that path, and this, Yahweh says later through Isaiah, will be your destruction. And that's what happens. The kingdom, the southern kingdom of Judah, comes to an end. The reign of the family of David over Jerusalem ultimately ends in defeat. But God, who is faithful to his own promise, will continue to keep this family line intact. He would build from the wreckage one who would vindicate his people and bring about a true son of David. So that's the rest of the story. This is what is coming and building up to now this angel's announcement coming to Joseph. Because that's where Matthew wants us to sit. He wants us to be in this moment with the one who is betrothed to Mary, Joseph, as the angel comes to him and says, Joseph, son of David. And he's also described not just as the son of David, but as a righteous man, one who would follow God's law. And he desired to do that as he comes in the face of this unexplainable pregnancy and his betrothed wife. And he says, what must I do? He wanted to do the righteous thing. And so he decided to divorce her quietly and not expose her to public shame. And he can't know what God has in store, and since he can't know God's will, God comes down to him to reveal it to him. And he says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because this child is from the Holy Spirit, and she'll give birth to a son, and you, Joseph, will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So this one, Joseph, son of David, is called by God and written about, especially here in this Gospel of Matthew, as Matthew helps us to see where the son of David is coming from, because this heir of David here takes Mary as his wife. And even though the child in her womb is not his, this child will bring, as David adopts him into his family, he is brought into this family line of David. And as the angel speaks a promise. He will save his people from their sins. And Matthew records this great truth here, then bringing in the promise of Isaiah, saying all this was fulfilled to bring about what the prophet had said. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son. You will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Here Matthew is lifting up Joseph as a counterexample to Ahaz. Because Ahaz rejected God's revealed word through the prophet Isaiah, and Joseph gladly accepts it and follows through with it as the angel announces this to him. Ahaz was unwilling to turn from his own will. He had his mind made up. He was going to follow the king of Assyria, and they were going to conquer his enemies, and everything was going to be okay. Joseph had a plan with how he was going to deal with his betrothed wife, Mary, and God said, no, Joseph, go this way instead. And Joseph conforms his will to the Lord's. Ahaz rejected God's sign of Emmanuel. And so for him, it was a sign of judgment. But Joseph accepts God's sign and believes what God has said is conceived in Virgin Mary's womb. So for him, it's a word of joy. Matthew, in bringing us through these promises and this line of David and bringing us to this person of Joseph, is inviting us to believe also and hear the words of the angel and what the angel says about this Jesus. That he's also this true son of David that has been promised. And you may have believed this all along, but when we read this message from Matthew once again, we get to ponder once again that this sign is also for us. The sign of Emmanuel has come. And God is with us. He's come to be with his people. And even though this sign is revealed, some are like Ahaz. And they'll decide to go their own way. Because some think they have their lives all figured out already, and they don't need Yahweh's promises. They've gone off on a different direction and want to be ignorant of what God says. And sometimes you and I, out of our own ignorance, whether it is intentional or sometimes not, but we reject God's plan. I mean, we reject his will and we reject his truth. And the promise that God is with us when we wrestle with this world and the sin that we're in can be words of comfort. They can be words that remind us that God is taking care of us and watching over us and leading us. But sometimes this word that God is with us can be a word of worry and anxiety, knowing that he is with us and sees us even when we sin. Even when we fail. Which is why God also reveals that his presence among his people and in this child is one that brings blessing. And this is how the angel is revealing it to Joseph, that this child brings blessing. The promise is clear in the name that Joseph is to give this baby. He will save his people from their sins. So Joseph, name him Jesus. Matthew lifts up Joseph for us as a man who, against his instincts and against his original plan against what he had determined to do. He listened to what God reveals to him. And Matthew invites us to receive the words of the angel in this same way, to receive the words of Isaiah in this same way, with humble faith. And so in faith, we recognize that this Emmanuel, God with us, is the promised Son of David that Matthew wants us to see. He brings in a new king and a new kingdom to reign forever. We recognize this prophecy, the one who has come to save is with us. His name is Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand.